These are the things that Jesus had in mind when he says that I must fulfill these things. There were all things that had to be fulfilled. And once he comes in his kingdom, once he establishes the kingdom of God, there's no more room for humbling himself and being numbered with transgressors. So these things obviously have to come first. I said early in my walk, the first things that came to me to persuade me to believe were these prophecies. Specifically, Isaiah 53 and Psalm 22. And we'll probably read Psalm 22 when we get to the crucifixion. It says in verse 13 of chapter 52 of Isaiah, in the Old Testament, "Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. As many were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred, more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. So shall he sprinkle many nations, or possibly cause to spurt. The kings shall shut their mouths at him. For that which had not been told them shall they see, and that which they had not heard they shall consider. Who has believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him." Some people say, oh, Jesus was probably ugly. Well, it's not that. It's that there was nothing about him that wasn't why he was desirable. It wasn't like you look at him and you think like, whoa, that's why we want him. They didn't say, oh, a king, regaled in robes, a princely apparel. He did not array himself in princely garb. He did not array himself as a king. As men look at it, as they look on the outward appearance, he did not appear kingly or comely or desirable. He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. He made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. You tell the truth, that's a quick way to the grave. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. You see hints of the resurrection. He that is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin. He shall see the travail of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. That's so obviously speaking of Messiah, of Christ, Christ Jesus. It fits him. And you may wonder, how do the Jews explain this when they read it in their old Torah? They actually have the gall to say that this is Jacob, the people of Israel, as the suffering servant of God. Which is ridiculous, because we hid our faces from him. We did this. He was wounded for our transgressions. What they're saying is, we are wounded for our transgressions. We are bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace is upon us. You want to be the suffering servant of God? You don't have what it takes. You really want all that? We've had all that. Yes, you have. Now come out of it and acknowledge the truth. That's what I say. The New Testament was written by faithful Jewish men who were faithful to the law and faithful to God's chosen, to his Messiah, to his anointed. These scriptures in the Old Testament speak of him. And there's more yet to be fulfilled. Who will yet come and suffer for you? Who will yet come and take away your iniquities? They still look for a Messiah, and the Messiah has come. But these things are done that all may be fulfilled that was written of him. And even their blindness, so that all could be fulfilled, and so that the Gentiles could come in. Therefore, boast not against the branches. I only say the things I say to the Jews because to provoke them to jealousy. Not from any feeling of superiority, God forbid. The things concerning Christ have an end. He had to end his life and take it again. I lay down my life that I might take it again. He said in the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verse 39. And he came out and went, as he was wont, to the Mount of Olives. And his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Verse 43, and there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat was as it were great drops of blood, falling down to the ground. And when he rose up from prayer, and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow. And said unto them, why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. Jesus is praying earnestly to settle himself for what he's about to undergo, that all things that are written of him may be performed. Psalm 22, all the suffering, all the gaping, the death, to lay his life down, because he had power to not lay it down. It's one thing when people force something on you. It's another thing when you have to submit yourself to it. He had the power to relieve himself, to stop it, but to be able to endure it and go the full measure of what God had said so that the scriptures may be fulfilled. That would take preparation and prayer.